Welcome to WP Coffee Talk with your podcast barista, Michelle Frechette. Special thanks to our amazing sponsors, Century Hosting, Expander Digital, GoWP, and WP Explorer. WP Coffee Talk is a proud supporter of Big Orange Heart, whose mission is to support and promote positive well-being and mental health within remote working communities. Please consider a donation to Big Orange Heart to continue to support this great mission. Welcome to WP Coffee Talk, where I get to talk to people in the WordPress community all over the world. And today I am talking to Adrian Toby, who is the CEO at Groundhog, where they build epic plugins. You can see the Groundhog in the back there waving at us. I like that. Pretty cool. So it's exciting. I get to talk to people all over the world. Sometimes they're basically in my backyard. In this case, Adrian is right across Lake Ontario up in the Toronto area. Hi, Adrian. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. It's hot, isn't it?
It's very hot. I have, hopefully you won't be able to hear it too much, but I have the AC blaring in here. And actually, it just went off, so hopefully you won't have to hear it too much.
Well, hopefully you don't start sweating too much either then, because it's a hot day. It's a July day today, and yeah, it's been a brutal year. I mean, COVID, murder wasps, hurricanes, earthquakes. I mean, I don't know what else there has been, but you know, now we get record high temperatures as well. I'd like to say I can't wait to see what the fall brings us, but I'm actually just hoping that the rest of the year is gentle, because like I don't want to like.
Let's just move into 2021, and we'll just call this one a wash. And
Let's not poke there. I actually just tweeted out just about 20 minutes ago that if 2020 was a book, it would be a post-apocalyptic thriller where there was mayhem and catastrophe everywhere, but you'd turn to the back of the book to see if everybody made it through okay, and somebody ripped out the last 20 pages, so you really have no idea.
I look at more as like a reading a series of unfortunate events, because I can see it happening everywhere else except in my own house.
That's it. Lemony Snicket is behind 2020. I knew there was somebody, some evil mastermind.
That must be it.
Too funny. Well, anyway, welcome to the show. It's really good to have you here. Nice to meet you. I always tell people how I know people, and I don't know you. This is the first time. I don't think we've actually interacted on Twitter, anything like that before now. So it's my distinct pleasure to meet you today face-to-face and start the beginning of a beautiful friendship, of course.
The pleasure's mine.
Thanks for being here. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, so my name is Adrian. I am the CEO and founder of a WordPress plugin company called Groundhog. We help small businesses launch their funnel, grow their list, and scale their business using proven digital marketing and automation tools.
That's fantastic. I love that. And you were right. You have that elevator speech like right down pat. So if people are wondering what that's all about, we are definitely going to do a deeper dive into what happens at Groundhog. By the way, there's three G's in Groundhog, one at the beginning, two at the end. So if you're listening and you don't know and you want to look that up, as I always say, that'll all be in the show notes too. So make sure you go to wpcoffeetalk.com, find Adrian's episode, and you'll be able to get linked up to all the things we talk about today. Tell us about your mug. You have a mug with you. Tell us what
you're
drinking.
I do. I have...
Tell us a story.
My Groundhog mug. It actually has lipstick on it because my mother, who works in the same office as I do, is just over there, and she was using it. But I nabbed it just for the purpose of this. And I am I'm 23 years old, so I appreciate instant gratification. Mm-hmm. So in my mug, I am drinking espresso. Nespresso.
Espresso. Oh.
Comes out 30 seconds or less. And,
so you and George Clooney have something in common. That's what I just heard.
Yeah, I have a machine in the office. I've got a machine at home. There's machines everywhere, although it's a little bit more difficult to like get to it. So I'm drinking like the fake Nespresso pods right now, the ones that you can just buy at like the shelves at the grocery store, because they lost their patent on it. So it's not Nespresso only anymore. There's other brands that do it. So I'm drinking those ones at the moment.
Ah, okay. Too funny. So your mug is a Groundhog mug.
I do have a funny story about it.
Tell us.
As a business owner in Ontario, we get to write a lot of stuff off, as lots of businesses get to do elsewhere. So I needed Christmas presents for a large amount of people. And you know, I'm busy. Business owners are generally busy people. We got stuff to do. So what is the fastest and easiest way in order to spend the least amount of money, write it off, and get 20 or so people Christmas presents all at the same time? So I went on like to VistaPrint and I just ordered 20 groundhog mugs and I just shipped them everywhere. Like, here's your mug. Merry Christmas.
My parents might have gotten these this year too. Just saying.
it's great because all we need to do for like presents now is just, you know, buy branded stuff and it's a business expense. It's great.
Exactly. It's fun for sure. Yeah. I mean, if you want to send one of those over to Rochester, I'll use it on the show even, you know, I mean,
there we go.
Fuck me up, dude.
It's a deal. Okay. I have one pre-packaged. It's sitting right there waiting for my
label. That's awesome. Well, I actually have a different mug that I've ever used on the show. It's hard when you're into your 130th or so episode to have a different mug every time. So of course I recycle them, you know, use them again and then. But this one has never been on the show before. So this is my very cute Bone China teacup. And here's what's really cool about it. And I am drinking tea because it's after 5 and I've already had a lot of coffee today. But look, it has a top. You can keep your tea warm. Isn't that cute?
That's very cute.
I'm drinking my turmeric tea, and my Yogi label says, appreciate yourself and honor your soul. So there's our good word for the day. So tell us, how did you get started with WordPress?
So I got started with WordPress about, I want to say, 6 years ago. I was in university at the time. And my parents, who I work in the same office that they do, they own a separate company. It's an agency, digital marketing agency here in Toronto. And they had a critical employee leave in like the middle of my school year. So I ended up going part-time in university and shipping my butt halfway across the city for the better part of 2 years for the remainder of my university stay. And I learned pretty much all things digital marketing. I became an Infusionsoft certified partner. If you're familiar with Infusionsoft, the kind of like the original marketing automation and CRM tool, except for maybe like SAP or something. The original small business one, I'll say. I became a certified partner and I learned how to do WordPress and build landing pages. We originally used, who remembers Aveda? They're still kicking, but they're not maybe as relevant as they once were, but we used Aveda for like everything. Mm-hmm. And that was really like my first introduction. I just kind of had to fill this critical employee's role in always shapes and forms. And I was doing that pretty much full time, Monday to Friday. And then I would do university night school. Mm-hmm. I did that for 2 years until I dropped out of university. Like the typical like founder like glory story is like they dropped out of university and they go found a company.
Oh man, you and who was the founder of Apple again? What's his name?
So we don't need that formal education.
Nah. You've got the school of hard knocks right there, putting yourself through all of the stretches and everything as you go. So
yeah. That's awesome. So my first real introduction to kind of like the WordPress business. So not necessarily just like an agency doing websites, but like dealing with WordPress community and, you know, pricing and selling stuff to other WordPress agencies and people was Infusionsoft had a fatal flaw. Their web forms, you know, the stuff that collects the most important thing, the most important asset of your business, somebody's mm-hmm. email address, were just absolutely terrible at the time. Mm-hmm. And they looked like they came straight out of like 1997, the year I was born. And they hadn't been updated since. And you're like, come on, guys, it's like 2015 or what? 2015 at the time. No, that's too early. It's 2016. It's 2016 at the time. And it's like, come on. So my first foray into building WordPress products is I created a product called Formlift, which is still around and still solves this critical problem that they haven't fixed yet. And essentially what it does is it's a web form tool, of which there are many to choose from in the WordPress ecosystem, but this one is specifically for Infusionsoft, and it would pull the HTML code, like the autoresponder form code from Infusionsoft, and it would turn it into reorganizable, modifiable, stylable blocks that you could then use a short code and just put it on a WordPress page. And that was kind of like my first product, and I iterated that for several years until I left the Infusionsoft community altogether.
Mm-hmm. So that was an interesting way to transition from one direction to the other, for sure, right?
Yeah. So yeah, it was really just kind of like solving needs and solving needs where they were, and coming up with some sort of, cause the WordPress ecosystem probably made up at the time, maybe 30% of the Infusionsoft ecosystem.
Oh, okay.
And so lots of agencies implementing Infusionsoft for small businesses, those agencies would typically also use WordPress. So I would sell FormLift as a package to those agencies to make their lives easier. It made the agency's life where I was working at the times easier. Mm-hmm. That's kind of just that's where I started.
Yeah. I love that everybody's WordPress store origin story is a little bit different, but also a little bit the same. You know, we all kind of find it and then find our niche within it and kind of carve out our space, which is pretty cool. When you look at other people's websites, maybe even your own websites from time to time, what is something that you think that we as designers, developers, builders don't focus enough attention on that would make websites better for the end user?
I'm going to skip, if that's okay, the better for the end user part, but as a builder, designer, and developer and CEO, there is something that I've come that afflicts us on a deep spiritual level that prevents us from getting results for typically either ourselves or the people that we work for.
Okay.
And that is our inability to ever make anything public or to essentially to launch it.
Right.
And we spend so much time designing and over-designing and then redesigning and overbuilding, rebuilding, and then overbuilding whatever components of our site that we actually are trying to use in order to get a result, make money, you know, get readership, whatever, get an opt-in, get an email address. We typically spend so much time on this process that we lose sight of the actual result that we're trying to get. The launch of whatever product you're building becomes a result in and of itself, but that's not really what the original intention was. And I think the end user, so you said, you know, people visiting the site, they suffer as a result of this as well, because whenever you eventually end up launching, you know, you spent so much time, so much money, and so much effort on whatever it is that your end user inevitably ends up on. You know, it's either overbuilt or overdesigned that they can't actually find the original intention that they were supposed to fulfill in the first place.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of builders, and myself included in this, because we're all afflicted by a need for perfection, need to take a step back. And my process, I like to always start off with a minimum viable product, an MVP. This is probably an overused term, but you know, if it's a page with like some words and a form on it that collects an email address, like that's good enough, right? And you show that to some people and you're going to get some feedback and then you implement the feedback and then it's a constant iterative process. Mm-hmm. These designers suffer from thinking that projects have an end date. And I don't think that's true. Projects are in a constant state of flux because people change, you know, markets change, mm-hmm. software and technology change.
Sure.
So it's just all this like constant state of flux. And really, you know, the content that you end up putting out is only as good as the day that it was put out on. And it's going mm-hmm. to have to change in order to remain relevant. Our own website has gone through countless iterations, split tests, design changes, font changes, everything mm-hmm. as we constantly tweak in order to get the best result depending on on today's date and the market and what people are expecting of our products and software. Mm-hmm. And I think the more people understand that that's the process, the better the UI, the UX, and the websites will actually end up being in order, because the purpose of the website is to deliver a result. The website is not the result in and of itself. And I think that is a critical distinction that a lot of people fail to make.
Yeah, I've actually said before, and I don't remember which episode it was, but we were talking about something similar, where I said that if you show me a website where somebody says it's done, I'll show you a website in a week that's out of date, because we should be constantly evaluating and looking. And I don't mean daily, of course, but generally, it's not like it's a one and done kind of thing. And our customers who think that they purchase a website once and they don't have to do it again, they don't have to pay for any updates and things like that for years, are, you know, misunderstanding the purpose of having a website for their business.
I mean, WordPress plugins change on like a daily basis. And, you know, technology changes and your website changes with it. And that's kind of just like the way that it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I remember all those people who wanted to go screaming, digging in their heels that they wouldn't use Gutenberg. And yet it's not that bad. You know, it's not that big a deal. I use it.
I like it. I think it was a positive change. And I think,
it's gotten better and better too, of course.
Absolutely. I was actually talking about Gutenberg earlier today. And I said, grievances were amended in the last 18 months. And I think it's a solid product for what its purpose was. I'm sure some people don't necessarily agree with that, but it pushed the envelope for WordPress and the community in general. There's a lot more plugins moving to a JavaScript UI first approach, which, and I am in the middle of the process of doing that for our own technology stack. And JavaScript first is, you know, after working with it for a few weeks at this point, maybe a month, it's just better.
There you go. I love it. Learn it deeply. That's what Matt said. That's awesome. Now, I really do think that, you know, we need to constantly be aware of what's coming on. You can look at a website and you can tell pretty much what year it was built if you're in the industry, and so can people who aren't in the industry in a lot of respects.
Subconsciously.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What's something that you wish you had learned earlier in your WordPress journey that might have made things a little bit easier for you in the long run?
Charge more. That's that. If I this is my default answer, because I learned that I should be charging more a year into my business. And the moment I started doing that, literally everything changed for the better. And I could have done that a year earlier had I known, but I didn't know the people and I didn't have the help. And I was dogmatically benevolent in my first year. And then I changed my thinking. So the story behind that is when I launched Groundhog and my product, I gave an immense amount of value for free. And we still do. Mm-hmm. And the incentive to upgrade to our incredibly inexpensive premium options were not great as a result of us delivering immense amount of value for free. Mm-hmm. So I went to Cabo Press, which is Chris Lema's conference in Cabo, Mexico, for a week. And I met some great people. I was there with Chris Badgett. I was there with Devin Walker. I was there with and some others, just tons of great WordPress people. And of every single one that I talked to, and I told them my situation and why I was there, they're like, I have the answer for you. And I'm like, what is it? It was like, you're not charging enough. Yep. And I'm like, you're giving away too much for free. And I'm like, but it's WordPress. And they're like, so what? And
do you want to make a living or not?
you know, it's like, you're a business. You got to make money. You have mouths to feed. I have employees, you know, it's like, I have a fiscal responsibility and a duty to have an organization that produces revenue. And if you're giving away, you know, all your secret sauce for absolutely free, guess what? There's no revenue.
Right.
So I want to say 4 weeks after Cabo Press, I had everything kind of ready to relaunch with new pricing. I raised a ton of money by giving everybody, like, this is your last chance to lock in at this price. And I raised a ton of money in the week ahead of my new pricing. I launched it. And ever since then, it's just been glorious. I actually have a profitable company, which is nice after a year. And, you know, not a lot of companies can say that. So I'm really proud of my team and for helping us do that. And that's great. Yeah.
That's awesome. And that's a great answer. And that's my answer too. So when I was first building websites, I started a freelance. I quit my day job, started a freelance, and I was charging $300 for a website. And I realized very quickly that I could do 15 of these a week. Well, first of all, you can't do 15 websites a week. Unless they're really shitty websites, right? I mean, let's just call a spade at that point. It was just like nasty.
Right.
I looked back at those sites and I was like, oh, of course it was this. I'm old enough that this was pre-mobile responsiveness, right? So all of that. I wasn't worried about SEO because I didn't do that for my customers. So it's like, yeah, it was, I mean, I've learned a lot since then. Let's just say that, right? So, and then you quickly realize that if you can charge $2,000 or $3,000 for that same brochure website, you don't have to have as many customers to pay the bills.
What's incredible to me was that I thought that I would lose customers by charging more.
Yeah.
And it had the exact opposite effect. Because my problem was actually that it was so inexpensive that people thought it was too good to be true.
Exactly.
And as soon as I upped the price, I was all of a sudden became a way more serious option to a lot of businesses because I was now priced in the same echelon as some of my SaaS competitors, ActiveCampaign, Infusionsoft, HubSpot. Well, maybe not HubSpot because they're incredibly expensive, but I was now a more viable option in the perspective that, okay, so he's charging for what he's selling, therefore it must be good. Right. And that was an incredible realization. It was like a eureka moment for me when I was told this. And, and Chris Lemma, I think, pointed this out specifically in a side session at CaboPress. But
yeah, your pricing should definitely bring value to what it is that you're selling for sure.
Yeah. And not only that, so now I have more customers and they're paying more. So it was just good news all around. I want to say that we have a freemium model. We have a free core and then we have paid plans. We have around like a 45 to 50% conversion rate.
That's wonderful. That's amazing. Yeah. Good for you. That's really good. And it speaks well of how you're running things over there. So congratulations on all that. That's
great. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I know you've been to WordCamps before, and I know you've been to meetups and things like that, I'm sure. So when you think back over your WordCamp experiences, meetup experiences, other WordPress type events, what's a moment or two that are kind of pivotal for you? Other than, I mean, we talked about Chris Lemma and changing your pricing. So let's focus on something different than that one. But, you know, what's something that to you was one of those aha moments that you discovered or met somebody at a WordCamp or a meetup?
Well, at a WordCamp or a meetup, so I've been to two WordCamps. Both of them locally are our local WordCamps in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there wasn't one this year or last year. So I did it in 2017 and 2018. Mm-hmm. I spoke at both of them.
So did I speak at 2016 and 17, 2015, 16 and 17, I think. So we were there together.
At the Toronto WordCamp?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm sorry I missed you.
I know, me too.
Small world.
It is.
At the 2018 one, I had a presentation about adopting digital marketing tools or why WordPress should adopt digital marketing tools, because it was very Gutenberg focused at that time. They're like, right, Gutenberg is coming, so all of your presentations should be Gutenberg. And I was like, okay, well, how can I frame digital marketing from, like, because that's who I am. I'm a digital marketing guy. I'm an email marketing guy. That's what I do. So how do I frame Gutenberg into kind of like words that somewhat correlate to Gutenberg? And I had a presentation that was like, everybody should be focusing a lot on what I was talking about earlier, minimum viable product, and that iterative approach, and how, you know, you should have the least amount of work to accomplish a simple thing. Like if you go to a website and the form is to get, you know, a white paper off of the site, either the site, you know, download to click your quote now, your quote form should not have a million steps, right? It should have one step and it should give them some sort of like instant result for whatever it is that they asked for. And a lot of people are like, what? And as at the end of that talk, at the end of that presentation, I had a lot of people come up to me and it's like, wow, you know, I learned a lot and I'm really grateful for you sharing that with us. And that kind of like, just, this was at the start of Groundhog too. So I just felt really validated that maybe this, you know, this thing that I was just about to start, and I didn't even have like any customers at that point. And I'm like, well, so I guess maybe I should invest some more time in this and really kind of move the needle, because obviously my thoughts that I embed into our software and our plugins are actually helpful, or at least people find them helpful. Mm-hmm. So that was a nice moment. I can't say that I went to a presentation where I had like a massive eureka moment. If I did that would be me fibbing. But it was, and in terms of WordCamp, I just really liked that experience because it kind of told me that, you know, we're onto something here.
Yeah. Can I tell you my eureka moment, which was
absolutely
like,
please do.
This is a funny one. I was fairly new into WordCamps. Might have been my second WordCamp. It was WordCamp Toronto. It was back when they held it at the the other campus. I can't remember what it was called out there.
So but there's, there are two. There's, so there's the one downtown, which was at the Ryerson.
It wasn't there. Yeah. The other one.
So there was one in North York, which was the 2018 one, which was the community city hall area.
Yep. That was before that, though. It was the 2017, 2016. It was probably 2015 that this actually happened. So I'm sitting in this college room, and somebody's giving a talk on WooCommerce and how WooCommerce is free and how much you can do with WooCommerce for free and, like, you know, 35 minutes of how free it is and all this stuff. And I didn't want to be the person to raise their hand and be like the total asshole in the room, if you will. So I waited till afterwards, and I walk up to the guy, and poor guy, I don't even remember his name now or know who he was, but I walk up to him, I go, so isn't WooCommerce a bit like a free puppy? And he says, what do you mean by that? I said, well, the puppy's free, but do you know how much money you spend on that free puppy in the first 3 months that you have it? Spaying and neutering, vet bills, all the shots, toys, like pet, you know, everything that you need to own a puppy, leashes, collars, all that stuff. I go, WooCommerce is free, and yeah, you can do a bunch with it, but if you really want it to work well for you, you got to put it through obedience school. You got to get all the different add-ons that work to make it work for you. And not, of course, not every plugin is like that, because GiveWP, for example, is not like that, and I haven't used Groundhog yet, but I'm sure yours is very robust as well. But it was funny to me, and it gave me that thought of free plugins are great, but be careful that you're not investing your time and energy into a plugin that actually is going to have a lot of hidden charges if you're not careful going forward, like shipping and all those other kinds of add-ons that you have to pay for to be able to do that. So
we're upfront that anything worth doing, you know, you gotta spend money to make money.
Absolutely.
Which is why I think we have such a high conversion rate from free to paid. It's like, hey, listen,
absolutely.
If this is what you plan on doing, you know, we're here to help you, but that's not, our time is not free and our software.
Exactly. Not. Exactly. But being upfront about it is the thing, right? So you have a pricing page, Give has a pricing page. At the time, WooCommerce was just not as upfront about those kinds of things. And that for me was that aha moment, is I never wanted to be part of a plugin that buried those costs and made it sound like you could do everything you ever wanted without any financial investment. So that was the aha moment, if you will, is to make sure that you're upfront with those kinds of things. And I think we see a lot more of that now than we did 5 years ago, for sure.
I'm just gonna pivot back to my eureka moment from CaboPress, which was charge more. This is less important, but one of the other things I learned is that, you know, if you're a for-profit business and your intention is to create revenue, feed mouths, and help people, remove free from your website. Like,
right.
And I, after the, cause I had free right on the pricing page. It was one of the plans that was available. It's like free, just download it. Right. I removed that from everywhere. There was absolutely zero mention except for one page on our entire website that mentions free, even though we have a WordPress repository version that's available for download. Because it sets a totally different expectation on behalf of the end user and our customers. Is that, hey, listen, we're not here to eat granola, and we're not here to, you know, do the hand holding and the free support and whatnot. You know, this is a business, and if you want results, we are here when you want to invest in your own results.
Yep.
Right.
It's not a charitable organization. It's a for-profit organization. And that's where people sometimes get confused about Give, is we work with nonprofits, but we aren't a nonprofit. We still have to pay our developers, we have to pay our staff, and we have to make sure that we're profitable.
Do you give nonprofits discounts? Because that's a question that I get all the time.
I answer that question daily, absolutely daily.
It seems boggling to me that you would get that question considering your market.
And the response is like over 90% of our users are nonprofit organizations. We've already priced our product for the nonprofit market, but yeah, it does boggle the mind sometimes. Absolutely, for sure. So tell us a little bit more. Anything else you want to share about Groundhog? First of all, I want to know how you got the name. What made you decide on the name Groundhog?
Groundhog Day, the movie. Okay. Bill Murray. It's my favorite movie. For those of you who don't know the story of Phil Taylor on Groundhog Day, he goes to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, which is where Punxsutawney Phil
is. Yeah.
On February 2nd of every year, he comes out of his burrow and checks his shadow. If he sees his shadow, you know, it's all's good. If he doesn't see his shadow, 6 more weeks of winter. And, you know, that blows. So Phil Taylor goes to Punxsutawney and he sees the groundhog and 6 more weeks of winter. And then he wakes up the same day, and then the day after that, and the day after that, and every single day he wakes up on Groundhog Day, February 2nd, because he's just like a jerk, and you know he's not nice, and he has to learn. He has to learn that, you know, the world isn't necessarily all about him.
Right.
And that there's other people's lives that he can positively affect. And over the course of, it's estimated 1,000 years that he wakes up every, they only showed 32 days, but the estimated time frame from other people calculating the amount of time it takes to learn certain skills, which he learns in the movie, is like he was there for like 1,000 years or something. Wow. Over the course of 1,000 years, he learns all these skills and helps a bunch of people in a single day in Punxsutawney, and the curse is lifted and he's able to, you know, wake up on February 3rd. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that, you know, a lot of that is relatable to our core audience's journey. They wake up every day and they kind of just like do the same thing and they're stuck in a rut, especially small businesses where, you know, a lot of it they're focusing on, you know, it's my business and, you know, all these things. I come from the approach of really focusing on how can we help other people and how can we help them get results that we can create? Cause I just want to give my results to other people. Like if that's what I could do every day. And I try to do that every day, but if I could just like snap my fingers and make it happen, I would.
Right.
So I named it after that to represent kind of that entrepreneurial journey where we go from, you know, focusing on, well, how do I, you know, make it better for me to a state of how do I make it better for other people? Mm-hmm. And that's, I try to impart that through my software, but I spend a significant amount of time in my community. I have a Facebook community. I'm in there every week on a consistent time basis for an hour, doing office hours, doing training. I have courses. I get on support calls. I do support myself a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. We just got new support people, which was really exciting. So I have to do less of it, but I still do a lot of it. And I'm like, I'm boots on the ground and I am just helping people. And I try to impart kind of that belief system and that way of doing things onto my community as well.
That's awesome. Going back to the movie for just a second, because I had not thought about the movie in a while and you reminded me. And yes, the lessons are good. And the people he talks to and the puddle that he steps in. The puddle that he eventually stops stepping in, right? Those are all great. And like everything makes you laugh a little bit. But the funniest part of that whole movie to me is that every single day he wakes up to Sonny and Cher singing on the radio.
I got you, babe.
It's like I like that song, but if I had to listen to it every single morning when I woke up, that would be my personal hell, which actually is what the movie's about, right? So he's got to learn how to get himself out of that purgatory, so to speak, in a way. Yeah. So I guess Sonny and Cher is purgatory for whoever wrote that movie.
Do you know the original premise of that movie was that he before he goes to Punxsutawney, he was supposed to eventually sleep with a girl and then break up with her like the next morning, and then she ended up being a witch and she put a curse on him until he's able to make another girl love him in a day, which is what happens in Groundhog Day. Is the female lead eventually, you know, mm-hmm. swoons and, you know, they get together and that's
Andy McDowell, right?
Yeah
And so minus the sex part, that's almost a Disney movie.
But they but at the last minute Bill Murray actually decided let's just scrap that, because the movie is way more profound if you ditch that first scene. And I think that's true, because it's actually entered into the like cinematography like vault, like the American whatever it's called, the historical films vault, as the most philosophical movie of the decade.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool. I love that, actually. And I love that that's like kind of what led you to naming the business. It's always interesting to me to hear why people name businesses what they do, especially if it doesn't have the word in it of what you're doing. It's not like CRM land or something like that, you know?
So, not like Active Campaigns, not HubSpot. There's this totally obscure name named after a movie, named after an animal that only exists in North America. I get messages, you know, they're like, what the heck is a groundhog? I'm like, it's like a fat squirrel with no tail. I have a picture, and I'm like, the heck is this?
I would say picture a beaver without the flat tail and you've got a groundhog.
I had no idea that groundhogs were only native to North America. And they're not even called groundhogs in Canada, actually. They're called gophers.
They're called gophers. See, well, for us, gophers are something different than groundhogs.
It's obscure in so many places in so many ways, but I guess it doesn't matter for a lot of people.
we call them woodchucks also. So groundhogs and woodchucks are the same thing.
Yeah.
Don't ask Siri how much would a woodchuck chuck, because you'll get the answer, by the way, but you'll get like 7 different answers. So maybe do if you're really bored someday, listen to that. Anyway. Let's move into the rapid fire questions. I ask them rapidly. You take as much time as you need to answer them. I just call them that because it sounds fun. First question, what are 2 or 3 must-have plugins that you would recommend to somebody building their own website?
Well, you got to have Groundhog.
Well, duh. Of course.
No, you got to, because the list is the most important asset of your business. Mm-hmm. Without a list, there's literally zero monetizability.
Right.
Or anything, especially if you're planning to sell. If you're planning an exit and you got no customers or no email addresses on the list that you can exit with, it's like, good luck. So you got to have a list. We'll help you build the list through CRM, opt-in, funnels, all the good stuff. But I won't spend too much time on that because we already talked about it. Next plugin I would recommend, well, you definitely have to have, especially if you're doing high volume, high traffic, you have to have an analytics tool. I invested in analytics way too late in my business, and I eventually got Monster Insights from Awesome Motive and Syed Balki and that whole group. And it's provided a significant amount of insight into how people consume specific content on my page, and it's allowed me to optimize a lot of stuff and just make the overall experience a lot better. So go get yourself some sort of analytics tool. There's like free ones from Google Analytics now. I think it's called Web Insights or Web Tools or Google Web Tools or something like that that you can go get. And number three is, Elementor has just made my life significantly easier. I don't have to go through the struggle with Aveda that I used to have to, or it's like change block and then preview and then change block and then preview. No, Elementor has made my life significantly easier. And I think our site looks, you know, pretty ballin'.
I think it looks really good. It looks really good. I looked at it before the show tonight. So if you like Elementor, that you might be familiar with Ben Pines, who works with Elementor. And
I've never met or spoken directly with Ben Pines, but I did recently speak to Zvi, who is their kind of like their partner relations person.
Awesome. Well, Ben was on the show and his episode is out. So if you get a chance, go listen to Ben's episode of WP Coffee Talk. And if you don't have a lot of time, just skip to the end, because the question that I asked him about what his hidden talent was, is he can do impressions, and he does the most spot on Matt Mullenweg impression you will ever hear. So was there another plugin? I kind of cut you off there. So those were three.
That's three.
Okay, perfect. At any point in having your business, or even, you know, before you built your business, have you had a mentor, whether through WordPress or through business building, official or unofficial, and who was it?
I have two. So I would be remiss if I did not include my own dad in this list.
He's not here.
He's actually he's gone for the day, but he actually typically works behind the white curtain here.
Okay.
When I was starting, he provided a significant amount of insight, and everything I know about digital marketing, it was like down from him. He was doing bums and seats courses in 2008, 2009 for like the original like SEO stuff and all of that. And it's been a learning process ever since then. So everything that I know about digital marketing, most of the stuff I know about digital marketing has come down from him. So I'd be remiss if I did not include him. And you and I were talking about Chris Badgett before we jumped on the call. Chris Badgett of Lifter LMS, which is, by the way, a brilliant LMS plugin. And I think should be included in those 2 to 3 plugins I mentioned earlier. Lifter LMS, if you're looking for an LMS solution, go check out them.
For sure.
Has been nothing but overly generous with his time with me personally. Several, you know, once or twice a month, you know, he says, you know, give me a call. And I call his cell phone while he's out doing his walk and his thing and his vlog. And we talk for half an hour just about strategy and about, you know, what we're working on. And he got me, he's the one who got me invited to Cabo Press in the first place, where I had all my Eureka moments. And he has just been, you know, if I were to attach like monetary value to his presence in my life, it would have to be like 2 or 3x because of the impact. So anybody who is able to be within Chris Badgett's circle of influence is a lucky person. And it's not actually too difficult to become part of his inner circle. If you buy his Infinity Bundle, you get access to his weekly office hours mastermind call. And, you know, everybody gets on a call. And I was actually, before coming on this, that's where I was. Everybody gets to ask questions and gets to participate in a group format and pick his brain, one on many, but very, very, very valuable. And I would not be here without him.
By the time this your episode here of Coffee Talk is out, Chris's will also have been out. So people can look up Chris's episode of WP Coffee Talk too, if they'd like to learn a little bit more about him, for sure.
Yeah. Specifically, he helped me with like a ton of this like business intelligence in the software industry, because he's been in a lot longer than I have. And frankly, I've only run a software company on like a very small scale. I ran Formlift, which only has 1,000 customers. And so that's my small scale. And all of a sudden, you know, I have like way bigger expectations of me from our customers. And they're like, all right, well, here's how you deal with this, Adrian. And that's just been like super helpful.
Yeah, he's definitely an amazing person. Who is somebody that you admire in the WordPress community and why? And you can't name somebody you've already named.
I can't name somebody that I've already named.
No, because we already know how great they are.
I'm gonna throw out Michael Short's name.
Okay.
Michael Short is he runs a company called WAS Pro, and WAS, websites or WordPress as a service, is kind of like a budding industry that's been around for a couple years now. It's probably older than that, but I've only been exposed to it for a couple years, and I'm sure it's older than I've aware of it, but I haven't heard of it before that point. And it's basically there's a group of people who build like WordPress on multi-site, and they acquire their plugins, and they essentially create niche specific multi-sites for and charge monthly recurring revenue, and they basically turn it into a SaaS, and that's their product. And he has managed to create an extensive community and several revenue streams, and he does it all by himself. And he does that just by being a master of delegation and time management. And I think that those are just two incredible skills to have. Some of those skills I lack still, especially delegation. My team is growing slowly but surely, and I have trouble giving stuff up. But you know, because those were the jobs that I did, and like I know how to do them really well. But now I just have to trust other people to be able to handle it to the level of expectation that I have of myself.
Absolutely.
And he just does that really well by having like remote teams and all of that stuff. And I think he's built an incredible business, and he sends me a lot of business.
That's great. I love it. It's great to have people that you admire, and it's always nice to hear that they aren't the same people, you know, interview to interview, so to speak. So many amazing people in the WordPress space that people are able to look up to and learn from. It's a great thing. What's something that you'd still like to learn in WordPress that you haven't tackled yet?
At the moment I'm going through the React learning curve and translating a lot of our infrastructure and our user experience into a JavaScript first approach. So that's been a learning experience, and we're currently in the middle of that. And had you talked to me 2 weeks ago, I would have been said, that's the experience that I think that needs to be tackled. I also have yet to visit a large WordCamp. I was actually scheduled to go to WordCamp Europe this year. We had an Airbnb and the whole thing booked, and we're going with the team. I was actually going to do something called the Camino de Santiago the month before that. So, you know, so I did it once in 2015. It's a 1,000-kilometer walk where you walk from the northeast corner of Spain all the way to the west coast. It takes about 30 days, 1,000 kilometers. You walk on average 30 kilometers a day. I did it in 2015. I was going to do it again this year. And immediately after finishing, I was going to ship my butt down to Portugal and go to WordCamp.
Yep.
And all of that fell through, which was really disappointing because of the pandemic. But I have yet to go to like a big WordCamp and experience the rah-rah and all of that stuff. So I hope I get to do that at some point.
Hopefully 2021 will be a year that we can get some of those bigger ones going again, for sure. Absolutely. What's one of the biggest mistakes you've made in WordPress, and what did you learn from it?
Oh, so many. Undercharge, waste money. Okay, so when I first started Groundhog, I knew all of this digital marketing stuff. I knew how to set up like a Facebook ads campaign, generate images, write copy, all of this stuff. And I didn't have any customers yet, so how do I get customers? You run Facebook ads. So I ran Facebook ads, and I spent $3,000 of seed money that I raised from my grandfather. And I spent $3,000 in like 2 weeks and got $0 in return.
Wow.
And that was just like an incredibly painful experience because, you know, you got so much budget, so much time. So I just scrapped Facebook ads, and I haven't run any PPC since. And it's all been word of mouth, but it's been working for us so far. I'm highly curious in reinvesting now that we actually have reviews and we have customers and we have, you know, a decent product. So I think at this point in time, throwing, you know, gas on the fire, as it were, would probably actually end up in some sort of return on investment on Facebook ads or Google ads or any of that stuff. But I had literally zero proof or like presence when I ran that original campaign.
Wow.
And that was a mistake. But I didn't realize at the time that would have been a mistake. I'm like, because I created Facebook campaigns for other businesses I used to be in the digital marketing agency, and we created Facebook campaigns. They had customers and they had, you know, reviews and they had all the experience. So I'm like, why would it work for me? And I was missing kind of that critical component, and it kind of just like fell on its face. So that was a learning experience for me.
What's your proudest WordPress moment?
Oh, 57 of my proudest WordPress moments are listed on our WordPress repository page.
There you go. I love it. That's awesome. That's a good answer. If you weren't working in technology and web technology, what's another career that you might like to try?
I was going to build boats.
Okay, then.
I was obsessed with the nautical lifestyle as a small child. And I was this close to shipping myself down to Auckland University in New Zealand, where they have the best, you know, nautical industry program where you learn how to, like, you know, construct Goliath ships or small schooners or whatever. And I was this close, and that's kind of like what I wanted to do up until like the end of high school. And then a whole new path kind of opened up. I did really well in my computer science courses in high school. We were fortunate to have a computer science program, not all high schools do. And that got me into the University of Toronto here in the computer science program as a specialist. And that was really fortunate until I dropped out. But that was a good experience, and I ended up going down that path. The other opportunity that I had was I was gonna be a jazz musician. I got accepted to McGill University, which is in Montreal, Quebec. And I was going to go there for jazz trumpet, but that didn't end up happening either.
Well, those would be kind of cool alternate.
I'd be a lot more broke if I went to McGill.
So you're a musician. How does that pay the bills?
Exactly. It doesn't. Yeah. You know,
exactly.
Here's a great joke. How does a musician make $1 million?
Out of the hat.
They start with two.
$2 million. good one. That's a good one. I'll tell you my favorite joke at the end here. What's something on your bucket list? I mean, you're a pretty young guy. You're less than half my age, so you should have a bigger bucket list than me, I hope.
Well, pulling from my nautical history, it's always been on the bucket list to do a circuit around the world. I don't plan on doing it on a small boat like some people do. So Groundhog needs to be a little bit bigger in order to afford that journey. And, you know, have one of those like satellite Wi-Fi sticks so I can work on the boat in the middle of the Atlantic.
So your business is Groundhog. Your boat should be Sea Hog, just so that you have covered both.
Well, I have several organizations. I have Formlift, I have Groundhog, and we started a new one called Mailhawk.
And, well, there you go.
So I'm sticking with the animal theme. And I think I might maybe like seahorse or like something like that. I don't know.
Well, that would work. Yeah, you never know. So when you're in the America's Cup, you just let me know. I'll watch.
I plan on doing mine a little bit more leisurely than the America's Cup.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean, I've seen those races. I've watched those races.
They're brutal. Yeah,
like brutal. Weeks on end of just brutal sacrifice.
Yeah. It's like that Naked and Afraid. In 21 days, they like lose 50 pounds. Like that kind of intensity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Only they get to still keep their clothes on, which is also a good thing.
I mean, they might as well not be for the amount of like water
that they have. That's probably true too. Although there are certain parts of your body you just don't want to get sunburned. So yeah. Anyway, moving right along. Show us or tell us about a hidden talent that you have that the WordPress community might not be aware of.
I build things. I that's kind of like where, and again, going back to high school, or further before high school, I built a lot with Lego. That was mm-hmm. kind of like my childhood entertainment was Lego. That translated into stuff that was a little bit more complicated in high school. We were also fortunate, in addition to a computer science program, we had a shop program. Cool. So we had like all of like the bandsaws and the planers and all of that, you know, joyous woodworking material. And I
do this. Let's make sure you still have all 10 fingers.
I have all 10 fingers. Fortunately,
you know how to use a bandsaw then.
I do. And I learned how to build things and build nice mm-hmm. things. I have I made a 13 piece laminated longboard, which was like 53 inches of Purple Heart, walnut, and Canadian maple, and it's just gorgeous. And, nice. And you can see a reflection in it, and in the raw wood before I put all of the finish on it, could see a reflection in it. And in just like the raw wood, which is pretty incredible. And I still like to build things, although I don't have access to a shop anymore. So stuff on smaller scales, I'm pretty handy, and I like to fix things. And I think that's like a really important skill to have, because you know mm-hmm. you don't want to be the guy, you know, it's like what, you know, your wife or your girlfriend asks you, it's like, can you fix the sink? And you're like, well, let me call a guy that's going to charge me like $300. You don't want to be that guy.
No, for sure. Funny story. So I was a single mom. My daughter's now 28, but she and her fiance a few years back got a flat tire mm-hmm. and he pulls off to the side of the road and he's like, oh man, could you call AAA? And she's like, for what? He's like, cause we got a flat tire. She goes, you don't know how to change a tire? He goes, no, I don't know how to change a tire. She goes, my mom wouldn't let me take the car out the first time until I learned how to change the tire. I made her take it off, put it on, even though it wasn't flat, you know?
So I've she's out there. Two tires in my lifetime.
So she's out there showing him how to change a tire instead of waiting for AAA, right? So she texts me afterwards. She's like, guess what? He doesn't know how to do. So yes, learning how to do things like that for yourself is absolutely a good skill to have.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's see. So how do we find you online? Tell us about the website, social media, those kinds of things, wherever you would like people to find you.
Yeah, let's do it. So Groundhog with two G's at the end .io is the website where you can go to learn all about our software and how we can help you launch your funnel, grow your list, scale your business. You can also find us on Facebook at GroundhogWP, on Twitter at GroundhogWP. If you're interested in my personal thoughts and in anecdotes, you can follow me also on Twitter at Adrian Toby, T-O-B-E-Y, and that's how you'll find me on social media. I'm a very approachable person, and I like to think that I'm fairly generous with my time and my knowledge and my expertise. So if you ever feel that, you know, there's a question that you might want to ask me or some knowledge you think I have that I could impart on you, then you are more than welcome to reach out and I'm more than happy to share.
That's wonderful. So as I said earlier in the show, if you do want to find those links and you are maybe driving and listening to a podcast at the same time later on, just go to wpcoffeetalk.com, find Adrian's episode, and all of the links will be there in the show notes. So we'll have those for you there. Anything else you'd like to share with us before I let you go for the evening?
I just want to say, you know, thank you for having me on the show. I did the thing where, you know, you have the form on the website and, you know, you're just like some random person wants to be on my podcast. Like, who the hell is that? You know, I'm just going to ignore that. I'm thankful that you didn't do that. And we got the chance to meet, and it's serendipitous that, you know, yeah, your other guests happen to mention my name to kind of solidify that.
Yeah, maybe it's just
I'm not
one of those.
Just some random guy.
Never. And, you know, I do, I ask people, I mean, anybody can be on the show first of all. It's like, it's not like an invitation only. I want it to be open to the WordPress community because that's what it's about, is WordPress community. And so you have to go to just go to wcoffeetalk.com and click that I want to be on the show. But one of the things I do ask is, how did you hear about us? And that's so that I can do a little bit of vetting, because I don't want to like invite spammers to be on the episode. So I do have a little bit of vetting beforehand. And so, you know, I always look up to see if somebody's using WordPress, if they're part of the community, that kind of thing, before I say, hey, yeah, let's come on the show. But as soon as I looked up your information, I was like, oh, I gotta have this guy on the show. Are you kidding me? So yeah, so it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for wanting to be on the show and for being here today. It's great to meet you.
Pleasure's mine.
So to everybody out there listening, we'll see you on the next episode of WP Coffee Talk, and look forward to that. Have a great evening. Thanks.